What a morning. It's turned out quite different than what I was anticipating. And I was nice to Wesley, just for the record. he started sharing that. I was like, Wesley, I said, stop. And it was almost time to close. And I was like, I think there's a couple of the other guys like, have you ever heard this? No, no. We need all to hear this story. The interesting thing, too, is that he didn't allude to that, but Wesley never saw a trap that was near or under that rock either when he grabbed that rock, so he could have easily got caught in that trap that was set for the fox that Walter was trapping. So of 22 acres, there was lots of rocks that he could have chosen that morning, and he chose the rock that Walter Miller was using for a bait trap. And Walter was not a believer at that point. And I think that's one thing probably that might have drawn Walter to the Lord. Benji's sitting back there. Because as crazy as it was, him coming barely in there and he could not figure out who stole his rock. I mean, who would steal a rock? But then for Wesley to tell that story, and Wesley meant for that to be just a private time with him and God. And God meant it different. Unbelievable how God moves and how God works. Well, this morning, I did not even know what Becca was going to get up and share. But the sermon title is Don't Look Back. Jeremy, you want to put up that passage? And I'd like for each one of y'all to look at that, and then I would just like for us to read it out loud together. And this is in Philippians 3:10, as you see, and it's part of the passage of what I used last Sunday in the sermon. And talking about who we are in Christ and how we operate and can operate as God's people, and how so often we operate as God's people. But yet, God knows he's dealing with a fallen human creature that he made. And he grants us his compassion, his forgiveness. Let's read that together. And I want us, that's kind of what I want it to be for our life word. Philippians 3:10, it says, let's read together. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Do you want those three things in your life? To know the power of his resurrection, to know what kind of fellowship is in suffering? What kind of goodness comes out of being conformed to his death? But that's what Paul was saying. And again, he was under house arrest. He was not a free man. And he was asking for this, that he wants to know. He wants to know Christ in a deeper way. Well, this morning we want to look at Philippians 3. And I'm going to start at verse 12. And I was going to go through chapter 4, verse 1. But I'm going to start at verse 12. And I will end at verse 14 this morning. So you will not get the full load that I was planning to share. And I think God has this ordained this way, that it's like I had no idea how the morning was going to transpire. And when I felt God leading me to put a title like that up and then looking at this passage. So I want to start reading in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of what Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As I was studying this passage, I was looking, I was like, you know what? Verse 13 is the verse that I really want to focus on this morning. And I want to spend some time on it. And that's actually the verse that I'm going to spend time on this morning, just based on how the whole service has gone, with how we as God's people every one of us, we have made mistakes. Every one of us, if it would come up on a screen of the things that you have done, every one of you, I think there is not one exception in this room, you would be horribly, horribly embarrassed. I would. But God has a way, when we repent, He remembers no more. And you know, brothers and sisters, this passage also, as we'll deal with it later, but it deals with who we are. We're perfect in Christ, but we're not perfect creatures. We are people who sin. We're people who do wrong. So we're not this morning preaching sinless perfection. 1 John 1 says, verse 7 through 9, that if we say we have no sin, we make God to be a liar. Because we sin. Even as God's people, as those that are redeemed, we sin. And we need God's cleansing daily in our lives. Well, verse 12, I'm going to just touch on that a little bit. If you look at that, that verse has it. I looked at it, but if you'll see there in your Bibles, it says in the last part, I wish there would be hold of for me. There between the of and the me at the very end of that verse. If there'd be the word for in there, it would make the verse a lot easier to understand. But Paul says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And the best that I can explain it, and I would like if you would just look at it and kind of come to your own conclusion too, but it doesn't say what Christ Jesus has laid hold of for me, but it says what Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And I, best as I can explain it, is this what Christ has went through for us as He lived His life on this earth, as He suffered and as He bled and as He died and as He rose again. He did it to give us an example so that we would know how to live and so that we would have the strength and the power, because as I shared the other Sunday, there's none of us that have went within anywhere close the distance that Jesus Christ has went for us in His suffering, in His punishment, in His rejection of man. And even God Himself having to sort of turn aside. I'm not sure how even to make sense of all of that, but when in order for Christ Jesus to die on the cross, to think of what God the Father had to do in order to allow that to happen. Incredible. There's not a one of us here that can relate to that, can relate to that kind of rejection, that can relate to that kind of agony. But Christ did it for us. Verse 13, Paul says, brethren, my brethren, my sisters, you, my people. Let me tell you something. He says, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. And when he talks about being apprehended, the best as I can understand, he says, I don't consider myself to understand or even perceive, but this I know. This is one thing I know. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. How many of you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you have ever been driving in your car and you, and I'll protect you here. You just very briefly were driving down the road and you had the yellow lines and the white lines and you looked in your rearview mirror and you tried to drive your car looking in the rearview mirror. How many have ever done that? How many of you are lying, that not raising your hand? I've tried that already, but not for a long distance. You could probably get good at that, but I don't know if you would die before you get good. Can you imagine, by thinking of that, how awful it is for you to try to live your life looking back? Number of years ago, when we were down in Charleston for the Coop River Bridge race, they have runners from Ethiopia, and they're paid runners that actually win. there was one fellow there that was running the race. He was leading the whole race. And 400 yards or 400 meters from the end, he got passed by the second place guy. And that second place guy won the race by becoming the first place guy right at the finish. Everybody was watching the lead man, but this second place man was drafting on this person. The lead runner was breaking all the headwind for this other fellow. How many times do you feel like you're sort of back in the pack? You're sort of back here, and it's like you're just not getting it. What I'm doing just isn't making a difference. But who knows that God is not sending people out ahead of you to break the headwind that's coming at you, to make it easier for you as you cross the finish line. And don't you know that this runner who was first for the whole race, or for most of the race, don't you know that he probably knew that this guy was back here stalking him, as it were? But what was he going to do? But he knew he was back there. This second place runner at that point was in the first place runner's head. Like they say, he was in his head and wasn't paying no rent. He was messing with him, I'm sure. He was messing with his brain because he knew he was there, and at any moment something could happen that he was going to come on around him. And he did. He had a plan. So the thing wasn't to be first place for the whole race, but it was how he finished. Every one of us has a past. Every one of us has things that we're deeply ashamed of. But you know, brothers and sisters, what I see so often in people's lives is these horrible things that maybe someone has done that if the story is told, people, oh, no, really. It might be shocking, but yet, at the end of the story, at the end of the day, when the new day comes, everybody that's heard that story is sort of just going back to their own life. They don't even remember everything that happened in that horrible story. But you know what happens so often? I struggle with myself to forgive myself. Because I think, well, God saw all of that. How can God possibly forgive me? How could God possibly just cleanse me from that? And you know what it is? It's Satan comes at us. He comes at us and he keeps picking at us. Our memory, our minds are a wonderful, wonderful, amazing things. But they're also, it's a terrible thing to have a good mind. It really is. It's because our mind is so sharp. And Satan knows that. And he wants to come and he wants to target us. Any runner, as he's running this race, if he doesn't keep focused, if he's looking out of the crowds and seeing who's watching him, seeing how good he's doing, or if he's looking back to see who's catching him, he's going to lose. Same way for us. We can't even, you know, so often I'm so worried about what someone else is going to think about me. Well, you know what they're going to think about me when I do something? Probably about 5 minutes. And then they're going to go back to their life. But you know how long I'm going to keep holding unforgiveness for myself? Sometimes for a real long time. There's a reason why Scripture tells us that God, when we confess, He remembers our sins no more. If an incredible God that we serve can do that, why can't I do that to myself and allow God to move and to work in my life? The past is not relevant. What matters is making the maximum effort in the present so as to sustain momentum in the future. That was said by John MacArthur. The past is not relevant. What matters is making the maximum effort in the present so as to sustain momentum in the future. And brothers and sisters, as we talk about mistakes, as we talk about failures that we've made, every one of us had them. But on the same token, on the other flip side, every one of us has had times that we... I did pretty good I did there, Matt. Pretty neat how I did that. I, I, I start out pretty well there, you know. And maybe you did. But you also cannot dwell on your past victories in order to sustain you for today. You have to keep plugging and striving and working to continue to move forward. The past victories aren't good enough to sustain us for today. We can look back and maybe gain courage, but we daresn't look back and dwell on that. But we look forward and we look ahead. We also daresn't look back when it comes to grudges, when it comes to hurts, when it comes to wrongs, when it comes to things that have been done against me. And I was right. I was right and you were wrong in treating me that way. And that might be a 100% truth statement. But how willing am I to lay it down? How willing am I to lay it down and to forgive? Even aside from anyone coming to me and saying, you know what, I'm so sorry I did that to you. That feels good when that happens. But brothers and sisters, sometimes that doesn't happen. And how willing am I to live my life and to say, there is nothing that you can do that's going to detract me from this race that I'm running, from keeping my eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, because I know and I begin to realize in a greater way what He has done for me. We can never fully comprehend, maybe until we get to heaven, what Christ has really done for us. But we do know that He gives us the power, He gives us the grace, which is the power to do the things that we know we need to do, which is by just way of information. That grace that you, as one of God's people, has is something that a non-believer knows nothing about. It is something that is driving others that are looking on at you that know nothing about this Jesus Christ and serving Him with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. It doesn't make sense how you live your life. They can't figure it out, but they can't come against you. That's God's grace, giving you the strength to do the things that you know you need to do in order to please Him. Luke 9:6, very familiar passage. Jesus said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom." So God Himself is telling us, stop looking back. Stop regurgitate and rehearsing. And you know, brothers and sisters, when we come to Christ and we confess and He forgives, and He does, what do you think happens when you stop and you look back and you're like, oh, I just wish so bad. This sin that I've committed. Don't you think God is up in heaven? I think He is saying, boy, what you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about. It's gone. But we have to learn to forgive ourselves. And just a little side note yet in closing. Each one of us has grown up in a home. Each one of us has had parents, has had or do still currently have. Each one of us have faced things in our life. It could have been better. I look at the way I raised my children. I could have done a lot better. Every one of you could have done a lot better in raising your children. But then even look back and there could be things that our fathers or our mothers did that were maybe terrible. They were horrible. And at some point, brothers and sisters, we have to stop. And we have to move forward. We have to stop looking back. And we have to stop blaming those behind us for the way I am today. And to say, by God's grace, I'm moving forward. I will not look back. And I will not allow someone else to put me on some kind of a guilt trip to regurgitate those feelings, because, brothers and sisters, we can build and we can bring those feelings back to the surface. And it feels fresh all over again. The pain, the hurt. And if you just take pause and you'd look at it and say, you know what? That's been forgiven. That's been covered by the blood. I will not go back there. I will not look back. I will look forward. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Oh, Father in heaven, this morning we are so grateful for the way you have moved in the Old Testament through our forefathers, for the way that you have spoken to our forefathers, for the way that you have done things that we can look back on now, we can read and we can know, wow, what a mighty way that God moved. And then God, we fast forward even to where we're at today. As Brother Wesley shared, of things that happen, as we say. And as now we look back and say, it had to be God. It had to be God. And so even as we go from this place today, dear God, would you help us to live our lives so that as our children, our grandchildren look back and they'd say, wow, it was God. That was God moving in that circumstance. And our Father in heaven, would you help us? Would you help each one of us as we live our lives that we'd be willing to lay down those things that are in the past, that we'd be willing to move forward, that we would do nothing but focus and set our eyes totally on you, on reaching the goal, on attaining that prize, that time in heaven when we will be with you for all eternity. Father in heaven, would you move among each one of us? Would you help each one of us, God, to check our own lives personally and to see if there's anything that would hinder us from having that full and deep relationship with you. Thank you again, God, for meeting us here in this service this morning. Would you go with us as we leave from this place? Help us to honor you with our lives, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.